Hey, if we ever get on TV for this segment, we have to hire two guys to come in with the quiet signs like they do in golf.
Yes, we do, and we need an actual bell if that's the case as well. We got a spring for a bell, and we got a spring for quiet signs.
One of my kids for Father's Day got me this panoramic web camera. I'm wondering if we could use that. We were going to do it to set it up so we could see our dogs while we're out of the house.
Wow.
But we could do that in here.
Steve had been opposed to this idea for a long time. All of a sudden, he's facilitating.
Well, how about this? Just on Wednesdays for that 15 seconds.
Or whenever you do a 10 and 10 and you wrote it up, we've got 2 minutes of show left.
Hurry! You're taking too long.
A 10 and 10.
We all right,
prove
let's
it.
Go. Let's
yeah,
go.
Speaking of taking too long. So... lots of huge news today in the NBA. Let's start with one of the shoes that actually dropped for one of the big-name free agents / players looking to move. The first act for Jerry West as a consultant for the Clippers is to get Chris Paul to opt into the final year of his contract, then promptly trade him to the Houston Rockets, where he will be joining with MVP runner-up James Harden. Harden, incredible last season. 29 points, 8 boards, 11 assists. Basically, the only way someone with those kinds of stats doesn't win the MVP is if a guy has a season like Russell Westbrook had. But Harden put up all those numbers as the guy to handle the ball for Houston. No one else on Houston had any scoring ability whatsoever. And Harden, that's obviously a little hyperbole there. Harden, who's naturally a 2 or a 3, really, was forced to play point all season. Now he has one of the best points in the last decade on his team to help with the workload. The prospectus: the Rockets were already a major contender in the West. Now they added one of the league's best guards. They already had a better record than Cleveland and Boston last year, just behind San Antonio, who's kind of falling apart right now. This move vaults them ahead of all of them as the second best team in the NBA.
Actually, I don't think that's really a debate at this point. You might kind of talk a little bit about San Antonio, but Cleveland didn't really put up a fight in the finals. I think at least it adds an interesting narrative heading into next year. So I'm going to go with my heart here and buy that for the sake of the NBA season.
And all of this could change in 24 hours with a Paul George trade to Cleveland or something like that, but we'll just wait for
that. Yeah, hell yeah.
Staying on this deal, the Clippers do not make this move if they don't get anything good in return, and they did. Patrick Beverley, an all-first-team NBA defender who Blazer fans know well because of his trash talk to Damian Lillard. They also get Lou Williams, who averaged nearly 18 points per game last season as the Lakers' leading scorer and one of Houston's key contributors after a trade. Role player Sam Decker averaged nearly 7 points per game for the Rockets last year, as well as Montrezl Harrell, who averaged 9 points, as well as a top-3 protected first-round pick for next year. No worry about that being a top-3 pick. So it's a first-round pick. So all in all, that's one of the best defenders in the NBA, total of 43 points per game between the four guys. Not a bad move at all for both teams. And with Chris Paul having just turned 32, he's getting long in the tooth and will demand a huge max deal to stay in Houston. So the prospectus: the Clippers actually got the better end of this deal.
Nah, this is step one of a house cleaning. I think you'll see Beverly Williams. You might not even see Decker or the kid from Louisville on the roster even next year. And the draft pick, because of how good Houston's going to be, is going to be 27. So that's kind of a not end today. I'm selling that.
So how about if they package these players along with something else like Eric Gordon, like they're saying, and get Paul George to come in? Would it be a better deal
then? The Clippers?
Yeah.
Well, can we talk about that when it happens?
I was saying to Houston.
Oh.
How about if Houston does that?
I like Houston's end of this deal, and I think it's the forerunner to try and lure one of the top free agents.
All right, we waited long enough. Big news of the day in the NBA in the Tannen household is that James Dolan finally came to his senses and agreed to buy out the last 2 years of Phil Jackson's contract, remove him as president of basketball operations. It was apparently mutual. Okay.
Yeah.
Jackson had been widely renowned as one of the worst executives in the last couple of decades, maybe ever, taking a struggling franchise with some good pieces and doing his best to keep them mediocre at best. The triangle never worked. Free agents didn't want to deal with him. Just an all-around L for the Knicks. But there is an argument that Dolan has had just as big a hand in this as Phil. After all, he hired Phil. Dolan had the dust-up with Charles Oakley. Many have written that Dolan's management of the Garden has ruined the environment there. Certainly should take some of the blame. The prospectus: James Dolan deserves as much blame as Phil in New York.
Well, first of all, this whole it was mutual, I think it's actually the other way. Phil said a bunch of rotten stuff, and Dolan was, well, you're fired. And then realized what he said, and it goes, no, 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 you said I'm fired.
No.
I'm out of here. That's $24 million. Thank you very much. Yeah. Of course that's a buy.
Okay. I was just doing the cha-ching for the money.
Oh, it's a buy.
The NBA draft last week saw... Wow, Nick doing NSYNC over there. Saw three Ducks go in the second round. Easily the best situation for any of them to land in goes to Jordan Bell. Finds himself a Golden State Warrior after the team traded over $3 million in cash to the Bulls for his rights.
Doubles.
Bell, an elite athlete, shot blocker, defender, now goes into a situation where he literally doesn't need to work on his one weakness heading into the draft, his mid-range jumper, because the Dubs have a few guys who can shoot the basketball. Now, Golden State, after winning their title, is faced with huge free agency issues. Just numbers and names. Durant, Curry, Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Pachulia, David West, JaVale McGee, Ian Clark, James McAdoo, and Matt Barnes. The only key contributor who looks on his way out is Iguodala. Durant is waiting to sign to give Golden State a better chance to get other players. Steph has said he wants to come back. No worries there. Bell is all of those things I mentioned earlier and is probably better than a lot of the role players the Warriors had last year. So the prospectus. You buy or sell Jordan Bell contributes for the Warriors in his rookie season.
I don't know if you could say a guy's better who hasn't played in the league.
Fair.
And fell to the middle of the second round. I think the jury is very much out. I think they're a wise organization, and they will find a role for him. In essence, I'm referring to Jordan Bell as the rookie on a parallel in the NFL who, like, contributes on special teams
right. And
finds moments, and depending on the matchup, like, I don't think he's going to play 80 games and average 22 minutes, but I think he'll make the roster and get in games and even be on the postseason roster. So if that means he's a contributor, I will purchase.
Yeah, he's going to come in, get an alley-oop dunk, and, you know.
Block shots, dive on the floor, defend.
Yep. Block a shot.
Come
exactly.
in at points in games or halves where they want to pressure full court and stuff like that. I think he's got a role in the NBA.
Oregon football is recruiting really well right now. They are currently ranked 5th in the country in overall rankings according to 24/7 Sports. They have 9 four-star kids currently committed to play for Willie Taggart. If this continues to trend this way, say they get a commit from the number 6 dual threat QB in the country, son of an Oregon assistant in Michael Johnson Jr., currently enrolled at Sheldon, by the way, then they could end up with the only top 10 class in Oregon football history. That includes the Chip Kelly era with the Ducks. The highest Oregon has ever finished is 12th in 2011. So this begs the question, is recruiting to Oregon actually difficult? Chip Kelly and Mark Helfrich sure sold everyone around here on that notion, but Willie Taggart just started after Oregon only won 4 games and has them the 5th best in the nation right now. So the prospectus, you buy or sell that recruiting to Oregon is as difficult as Chip Kelly made it sound?
Well, I don't know if he made it sound that difficult. I mean, he also, I'll tell you what he did do, made it easier for everybody else by putting him on the national map as a contender. So I still think because of the minimal amount of in-state recruits, there will always be a level of difficulty. But obviously, it's not completely difficult because they get a lot of players and win most of their games. So I'm going to sell that.
So you're going to buy that recruiting to Oregon is as difficult as Chip Kelly made it sound?
No, I'm not going to buy that okay. Because, and I don't think he meant that. I think he was kind of a lip service guy to kind of build himself up at times. So it is still more difficult to recruit here because the state of Oregon is, what, 40th in producing like D1 players or something like that? So it's sellish.
It's a sell. Interesting story out of Chicago today as the Nationals and Cubs played yesterday, and Washington stole 7 bases off Jake Arrieta and Miguel Montero, including 4 by Trey Turner. When asked about it, Montero placed all of the blame on Arrieta, claiming the team was running all over the place because his delivery is so slow. Both sides have a point here. Montero has only thrown out 1 guy in 32 attempts this season, but Arrieta is statistically the most likely to steal on in the bigs due to various factors, including the fact that he is a turtle in terms of delivery. Now, just this afternoon, we learned that the Cubs designated Montero for assignment after calling out the team's ace. He's not a great player, 286 average, four homers, obviously can't throw anyone out. But in this case, he is absolutely correct that the huge reason he can't throw anyone out is because his pitchers don't help him. So the prospectus, Montero deserved to be sent down.
First of all, how did Mitch McConnell get in the conversation? I heard you mention a turtle.
I get it.
He absolutely deserved to get sent down. You get eaten up. You have a conversation. It was out there. You know you got stolen on seven times. Do you like your job as a major league player, you putz? So absolutely. And that's that.